In the mid-1980s, I was a contractor. Many of you know that, I guess. But at the time, I was building a good-sized church in the inner city off of Kinsman. It was, to say the very least, a very dangerous part of town. There were drug deals going on in front of us all day long like it was nothing right out in the open. One of the bricklayers we had hired as a sub to put brick around the building decided one evening he stopped at a local bar on the way home, and he almost got his throat cut. He actually got it nicked. It was not a good idea. It was a tough, tough area. And once while we were working there, we had several tools stolen from us. Just had left them in the building overnight. Someone came in and turned their backs for a minute. They took them. A couple days later, some people came by and wanted to sell us the exact same tools but a different brand. I mean, they knew what they had taken. What are you going to do with it? So one morning, I went there with my son, Ron. The rest of the crew was at another spot. We're getting ready to lay tiles, so we're laying some underlayment down. And I had to meet somebody at another site that we were going to get ready to work on. So I left my son, Ron, to work there, and I asked him, I told him, I said, I know it's inconvenient, but make the cuts outside because we don't mess up getting ready for the tile. But every time you make a cut, take the tool back in. Because it's going to be, you know, it's not, just take it in with you. So I went to the other job site, and the guy I was going to meet was late, running late. And while I was there, I had such a burden to pray. So I started praying, and it got more. I was actually on my knees. I mean, I prayed deeply. Just the Holy Spirit hit me so hardly. And so just as I finished praying, the phone rang. This was before caller ID. And the phone rang, and I picked it up. And the voice on the other side was so upset. I had no idea what they're saying, no idea who they were. Somebody's really upset. I calmed the person down and realized it was my son, Ron. Sure enough, he had left some tools outside, and they had gotten stolen. And he was so upset. We had a little car wash right next to the building we're building on the corner that was really no more than just a drug front. He went in there and accused all of them of stealing the tools, went through the back room, going through the cars. He somehow managed to leave there unharmed. Some people would say he escaped with his life. So I had calmed him down. I said, it's not a big deal, it's tools. And I came back to the site after I met the gentleman, and I took him to lunch. While our lunch, we started talking about it. And it turned out exactly the time I was praying was when he was in the car wash. The burden of the Holy Spirit at that point in time. And I believe it just probably saved his life. And I think I've shared this in the past, but it's really an appropriate illustration for where I want to go today. I personally will be forever grateful for the leading of the Holy Spirit, certainly in that instance and others as well. I have several other stories of times where the Holy Spirit led me to pray for my children or our life, and I suspect you do as well. And while I have many stories of God leading me with direction, I can share times that I did not listen or hear or even took the time to pray. I just like the stories where I heard from God better, so that's what I'll choose to share. So this last Thursday's life group, we were getting towards the end of the study, and we were looking at being led by the Holy Spirit. And the study encouraged me to look a little deeper and expound out a little bit this morning. In fact, as I prayed about this morning's service, to me it seemed good to the Holy Spirit to talk about the Holy Spirit. Once when Paul and Barnabas were in a church in Antioch, some teachers from Judea came in and they were teaching error, false stuff. They were saying you had to be circumcised to get saved, and became a great dispute. In fact, Paul and Barnabas disagreed with them. Scripture actually said they disagreed vehemently. So the church sent some members along with Paul and Barnabas to go back to, if you will, the mother church in Jerusalem to seek correction from the original disciples. This is early on when the church is just getting started. So they met and they discussed the problem. They sent the men back with a letter correcting the situation and of course, talking about the error. But it said in the letter in Acts 15:28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and good to us to lay no burden greater on you than these few requirements. I've always loved that. It just seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. As a believer in Christ, perhaps one of the most important things you should know for certain is that God's will to lead you and guide you in every aspect of your life. Many times over the years, we've looked at this. I've preached on this several times over the years, simply because of the value in it and simply because at times when I feel God leading me to do it. We can all need a refresher course or just learning more about it. Many times I've heard people tell me that God had led them by the set of circumstances, and sometimes it's an absurd situation. We've got to lead them by circumstances. Their understanding is God arranged a set of circumstances to give them direction as they've been seeking. Listen very carefully. That's a really good way to get misled. The Word does not support that He will lead His children by circumstances. God is clearly in our lives and certainly in many of our circumstances. He's always with us. But God never gives the Holy Spirit a day off and decides to use circumstances instead. One of the definitions for circumstance is a piece of evidence that indicates the probability or improbability of an event. That sounds like a maybe to me. Maybe yes, maybe no. Probability means it is likely. Improbability means it's not likely. Well, what is it? I mean, that sounds more like a politician talking to me than the Holy Spirit. It's possible. We'll see. And how many of you, when you want to direct your children or grandchildren or somebody you're working with, will purposely arrange a set of circumstances in hopes that they get it? You're guilty? Well, listen to this sermon for you this morning, then. Experience informs you that you must indeed speak to them in clear terms. And God desires to instruct His children, speak to us clearly. So my question to you this morning as a child of God, how well do you know His voice? How do you know the Holy Spirit's voice in your life? As a child of God, how well should you know the Holy Spirit's voice? Circumstances can confirm more than lead, but Scripture never supports that God leads you through circumstances. The book of Acts chronicles the history of the church immediately after Christ's ascension, and it helps us understand God's intended life for the believer and the intended life of the church. And one powerful example is seen in the Apostle Philip. Philip went down to Samaria to preach the gospel, Samaria of all places. And while he's there, he performed many miracles, cast out many evil spirits, the Scripture says. And he's having a powerful time of ministry. And right in the middle of this powerful time of ministry, God does something rather unusual and changes direction for Philip. Pick it up in Acts 26. Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. I want you to notice here the supernatural. Angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. I said Philip's ministry is doing very well, and many of people are being impacted by what God is doing through him, yet he's directed away from the city into the desert. And at that point in time, it's said that nobody would normally be in the desert. The heat of the day, right at noon, people don't go out in the desert. Scholars would tell you this is very unusual. Yet, Philip didn't debate that. He just obeyed. And so Acts 8:27 says, "So he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet." So Philip obeys, and in his obedience, he finds a man reading Scripture. The supernatural life will not happen without obedience. We want the supernatural things of God in our life. It won't happen without being obedient to what God tells us. This gentleman's reading Scripture, and it was that custom during the time, the ancient custom to read Scripture aloud. So Acts 8:29 says, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him." So Philip opens the meeting of Scripture. The man believes on Christ and is saved. And this Ethiopian man was seeking God. I mean, it's a powerful example. If you truly seek God, he will move supernaturally to meet you if need be. Here's this Ethiopian gentleman. I looked it up. It seems like Ethiopia was about 1,500 miles away from Jerusalem. I mean, this guy is serious about wanting to find God. He comes to worship, God-fearing gentleman. God will move supernaturally. And there's two verses, 26 and 29. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and later on it says, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. First, you have an angel speaking, and then the Holy Spirit. I like Peterson's commentary. It says, references to an angel and the Spirit highlight the fact that the initiative in this mission is entirely with God. Entirely with God. And what is important is that God, in a supernatural fashion, spoke to Philip. And Philip heard the voice of the Lord and responded. The result is the man gets saved and then he gets baptized. And then watch what happens. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That sounds pretty supernatural to me. Amen? The Spirit spoke. The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. I've said many times, everything that God does in your life, he does through the vehicle of the person of the Holy Spirit. Whether he speaks to you, whether he heals you, whether he gives you direction, whatever he does in your life, God does through the person of God, the Holy Spirit. It's very clear here that the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and Philip heard from God. Philip heard from God to go to the desert. Philip heard from God what he wasn't honored to do once he was in a desert. See, the Holy Spirit is not a principle to learn, but a person to know. If you're a person to take notes, you ought to write that down. The Holy Spirit is not a principle to learn, but a person to know. When the angel told Philip, you get up, start walking towards the desert, he never questioned him. He obeyed. I remember years and years ago when I first felt led to start going back to school and study. God was calling me to some kind of ministry. I had no idea. I remember I heard a quote early on because I said something like, I'm just going to follow God and I don't know where I'm going with this. It's just God told me to go to school. Zig Ziglar uses a quote, go as far as you can see and when you get there, you'll see farther. Sometimes God just tells you to do this. Philip didn't know. All he knew was to go to the desert. I'd ask, is there a McDonald's along the way or something? Can I get a cold drink? No, he just went to the desert. You go as far as you can see what God's telling you to do, he'll get you to know when you get there. Fast forward in a couple chapters in Acts, and we find Cornelius, a devout, God-fearing Gentile. This man gets a vision from God telling him to send for a man named Peter. God tells him Peter's name, Peter's town, where he's at, who he's staying with. Back in the 80s as well, I remember there was a lady at church. We called her Mother Watts. That was her nickname. Elderly lady. I think she got the name because her and her husband, who had passed away, was a pastor. They had raised like 60 or so foster kids besides their own. She became Mother Watts. And she went to school as well, but she really couldn't read or write. She just tried to absorb what she could, but she was a woman of prayer. And I remember the story one time, she's praying, and God told her to go. She lived in by University Heights. He gave her the name of a lady and an address in Berea. She got somebody to drive her out there. She knocks on the door. This was a Jewish lady, had been seeking God. She told the lady God sent her, prayed for the woman that hurt her back. She healed her back, got her saved, and got her baptized in the Holy Spirit. Good old Mother Watts. She didn't need to be deeply in the Word of God. She needed to know the Word of God. Hear the voice of the Spirit of God. God knows where you're at. He knew that woman's need. I've shared this story as well, but years ago, my daughter had one of her little baby overseas, and she came up to visit us, and she was going back to Florida. I had a couple of kids with her at the time. And I didn't want her to drive back by herself. I don't remember the whole details why she was up here by herself. But so I offered to take her back. Made arrangements. Drove her back to Florida. And Sunday morning, just Saturday night, we stayed overnight. Sunday morning, we get up and go to this little restaurant to have a bite to eat. This is Sunday morning. I'm in shorts. It's down in the south, hot. As I'm leaving, this lady stops me with a group of ladies. She goes, "You're a pastor, aren't you?" I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm sitting here in shorts on a Sunday morning. I'm not in church. What makes you think I'm a pastor? So, well, the Lord told me that. And I loved it because God knows what you're doing and where you're at. Now, there's sometimes we just want to say, not today, Lord, kind of walk away. But God always knows what you're up to. I love that because wherever I'm at, whatever I need, God is aware of it. So an angel was telling Cornelius to send for Peter. And at the same time, God prepares Peter to minister to the Gentiles. Now, when the angel told Cornelius to send for this gentleman, Peter had no idea. It was, plan was in motion, but he just obeyed and sent some men. But God's getting Peter ready. Acts 10:9, and following the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, which was noon. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and objects like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him again the second time, said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. The Lord spoke to him verbally while he was praying. Verse 13 says a voice came to him. Verse 15 says a voice spoke to him a second time. And verse 16 said it was done three times. Was it an audible voice? Was it a voice from within? It doesn't really matter. In his vision, in his trance, Peter heard from God. So verse 17 takes a shift, and the vision is now gone. Peter's reflecting on it. What does this mean? And the men show up asking for Peter. Acts 10:17. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, stood before the gate. They called and asked whether Simon, whose sure name was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Notice how the Spirit of God spoke to Peter, just as God intends to speak to his children. Peter goes with the man and preaches Christ to Cornelius and his house. The Holy Spirit falls on them. They all get saved. They all speak in tongues. The early church is a good example of how God desires to communicate with his people, how we should be functioning in the body of Christ, how we are apart from the world. You should expect God to move in your life. You should expect God to speak into your life. You should expect God to reveal himself to you supernaturally. I mean, he is a supernatural God. These are the things we should be walking in. When the apostles spent time with Jesus, they watched him hear and move in the Holy Spirit. Now that the promised Holy Spirit had come into their lives, they function in very much the same manner, just as you should. John writes at a time when Jesus was on the way to the cross, and he's preparing disciples for a major change in their lives. John 16, there we go. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." That always struck me. I mean, Jesus is walking with them. He says, "Better for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he was come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because of the ruler of this world is judged. And the Holy Spirit is your comforter. He's so many things in your life, and he is the convictor of sin. If you don't get anything else this morning, remember, you're not the convictor of sin, the Holy Spirit is. You could share Christ. You kind of leave it there, all right? I'm not saying condone the behavior. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to get in trouble here, but just remember that. John 16. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see me, again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. From the lips of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Now, what may he speak? What will he speak? One is he will speak truth. Verse 13, he is the Spirit of truth. Truth is the only thing the Holy Spirit will ever speak to you. God is not a man in numbers that he should lie. It's impossible for the Holy Spirit to lie to you. Second, he will speak to you that which he hears, and most of it will often be the heart of the Father for your situation. We see this very clearly in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. If we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, we've been there sometimes, I don't know what else to pray, Lord. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you according with the Father's will, and then reveals the Father's will, the one who searches your heart, for your life to you. That's what it's saying there. At times I think it's there's groanings. It can be us praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's interceding with us and through us, and he speaks to the Father, and the Father knows what the Spirit is going on, and the Holy Spirit hears the Father's will for you, the one who searches your heart. And the third thing is the Holy Spirit will speak to you that which is of God, that which is of the Father, that which is of Jesus, and will declare it to you. What a wonderful promise. Father, I have no idea what to do in this situation. Help me, Jesus. How many times have you been there? And the Holy Spirit says, okay, let's spend some time talking about this. Let's spend some time in prayer. And I will declare to you the Father's will. In a real life application, you should know when God is not in something and when God is in something. I said the Holy Spirit can only speak truth, for he will always line up scripturally. Many times over the years, I've encouraged you, develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When I first got saved, man, I was so in love with Jesus, he came into my life like an explosion. It was wonderful. As I got to know Christ a little more and I got to seek the Word of God, I realized I can have a relationship with the Father. Never thought about that. And then it dawned on me, what about God the Holy Spirit? I can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if you have one, make it even deeper. And developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit will not diminish your relationship with the Father or with Christ. Rather, it enhances it, blesses it. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will always point you back to truth, will always glorify God, will always point you back to Jesus and the Father. Learn to trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I've often said before as well, I seek the Holy Spirit in the everyday things. Because I know his voice then. I don't want to wait till a crisis to hear his voice. I want to learn his voice in the everyday things. And you will never learn the leading of the Holy Spirit without praying and seeking God's direction in your life continually. The more you speak to God, the more you listen to God. I've often said, so many of our prayers are just giving God advice and then we leave the room. Let him ponder on it for a while. What about listening to what he says? Ephesians 6:18 tells us to pray in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 tells us to walk in the Spirit. Live by, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God does everything in your life through the person of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit means you can be led by the Spirit and you should be led by the Spirit. It doesn't say hopefully you can hear the Spirit of God. It says if you're led by the Spirit, if you choose to seek the Holy Spirit, then you don't have to worry about fulfilling the law because God will never lead you in sin. And then we see Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Pray, live, walk, be filled, be yielded to the Holy Spirit, and don't quench the Holy Spirit. Jesus died on the cross that your relationship to the Father would be restored, and that you would live your life devoted to God, hearing from him on a daily basis. God's calling you to live in the Spirit. God's calling you to be led by the Holy Spirit. Time certainly doesn't allow us to cover the many areas where the Scripture reveals God leading by the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believers. Acts 16 tells the time when Paul and Timothy were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into certain parts of Asia. Other times they were clearly directed what to do in their life and their ministry. Even if it meant perilous times, God said do it, and they did it. The early believers sought God on a regular basis. They knew and understood that they needed to hear from God. This was a major change in their life. This was something new and exciting. When God comes in your life, it's a major change. And from God, they received clarity. They knew what was right and good. They knew what was not good, what was dangerous, and out of God's will. Every one of us needs God's direction in our lives. We all do. And it's God who reveals his will to us. And you'll never reach a place in your life where you go, I don't really need to hear from God right now. I got it. Because you always need to hear from him. In fact, the more you go with God, the more you hear from God, the more you realize the more you need to hear from him. And it's the Holy Spirit who illuminates God's word for us. Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great mighty things which you don't know. We just heard Jesus say that he'll reveal things to you that you don't know. How does he do it? By the Holy Spirit. And this Jeremiah here, he's speaking to Jeremiah specifically, because God's no respecter of persons. Call to me, and I will answer. But I'll show you things you have no idea what's going on. And look what Jesus said in John. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I love that. It's like you have one hand in the Father's hand, one hand in Christ's hand, and the Holy Spirit walking with all of you. Group hug. We need to learn the voice of God, as I said, in everyday events of life. Then you know his voice in the critical. Galatians 5:25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit leading in every part of our lives. See, we tend to want to just know what God does in the major things in our life. And if it's a decision we want bad enough, we won't even involve God in it sometimes. God says, follow the Spirit's leading in every single thing you do in your life. The NIV says, since we're living by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I like that. We tell God we're doing this, come along. No, let's keep in step where the Holy Spirit's going. Let's follow him and hear from him. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. Our daughter Kelsey, she's in her 30s now, mid-30s or something like that. Whatever, but point out, I'll get there in just a minute. Give me time. Chris is pregnant with who they turn out to be. No, she's not pregnant today. She's pregnant with our daughter, Kelsey. This will all be over soon, folks. So I'm praying, she's praying, and earlier in the week, God told me, if I remember right, it's going to be a Thursday, the baby's going to be born on Thursday. So the evening before was a Wednesday, I went to church, you know, Chris stayed home, she's very, very pregnant. I come back and she's experiencing contractions very closely together. So I'm thinking, I'm tired of a long day, she now wants to go to the hospital. That baby's not going to be born until tomorrow, we'll go in the morning. I'm praying that God says, take the woman to the hospital. So as we're driving, we're heading to the hospital at the time where her physician was 45 minutes from where we moved from. She's having contractions really seriously now. And we're passing, at the time, of Hillcrest, perfectly good hospital. I'm thinking, I'm not going to deliver this baby. And see, maybe we should go. And God says, no, just go. Just go. We get to the hospital, we check in. Everything's kind of going on, and I hear the nurse on the phone telling somebody, you can't come here. There's no more room. We're pregnant, full pregnant. If I wouldn't have listened to God, Chris wouldn't have been able to see her own doctor. Maybe it was born at 8 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So, I mean, the whole point is that we can know God's voice in every aspect of our life, and we can know her voice, God's voice, as we're working through the situation. Take her to the hospital. Should I stop at this hospital? No, just go, but get there now. God is so good. How about if we stand and worship the God that he desires to lead you, guide you, and direct you in your life? Let's stand and worship our God.